Welcome to Losing a Child, Always Andy's Mom. On this podcast, we journey through the devastating experience of the death of a child. Grief is seldom discussed openly in our culture, and the death of a child makes people feel even more uncomfortable. We approach the topic openly and honestly, speaking to people who have lost loved ones and experts who help care for them. Whether you are a parent experiencing loss or someone who wants to support another going through this tragedy, this podcast strives to offer hope and help.
Welcome to episode number 237 of Losing a Child, Always Andy's Mom. I'm Marcy Larson, Andy's mom. Now, all of my interviews are very special, but to me, this one is a little extra special, and that is because I get to interview my very dear friend, Michelle, about her amazing son, Corbin. And what makes this even more special is today, on release day, it is Michelle's 50th birthday. So I have to say, happy birthday, Michelle. I know that it will not be an overwhelmingly happy day, but I do hope that you find little moments of joy today and that you are able to feel Corbin in an extra special way on your 50th birthday. And now for the rest of you, I know that you are really going to enjoy listening to Michelle, Corbin's mom, because she has truly been an inspiration to me over the last 2.5 years that I've known her. And I know that she will inspire you as well. So for now, sit back and listen to Michelle, Corbin's mom. Thank you so much, Michelle, for agreeing to come on the Always Andy's Mom podcast today.
Thank you so much, Marcy, for having me. I've been thinking about it for a while, and I'm just so glad to be here to share about my son, Corbin.
Oh, I just need to start out by saying this interview is a long time coming because I've known Michelle for a really long time, We were just trying to go over when the very first time we met was, and it was at a bereaved mom's retreat, a day retreat that Starlight hosts every single summer. And honestly, it wasn't the first one you went to. It was the second one you went to, right? Because the first one happened in August. Corbin actually died. We'll go through this, but he died in July of 2020. And she went to that first retreat. And the first retreat I did not go to, actually, that one, because it was on August 15th. I remember very specifically because it was on an anniversary day of Andy's death. And I just felt like I needed to be with my own family. So I was not there that day. But the next year, it always tends to fall around the 15th, but it wasn't on the 15th that year. So I remember sitting down, and I remember very specifically the table we were at, the fact that you were sitting just to my left, and that we started out a little conversation, and unbeknownst to me, you'd been listening to the podcast, and I had no idea, right?
Right. Well, yes, I had been listening to the podcast for about a year, because I found your podcast, like, within a couple weeks after Corbin died. And I remember messaging you at that time, so early on in my grief, just reaching out and thanking you for the podcast. And it was so helpful for me in that deep grief. And you messaged back, and then you checked in again with me a few months later just to see how it was doing. So,
and then I sat down, and then you were there too. It was just really cool because I believe, I mean, this is going back a long time, but I'm pretty sure you were the first listener that I ever met.
Okay.
That, wow. Like, you know, I sort of knew as a listener first, and we communicated back and forth a little bit, and then I met you. And then Laura was supposed to be there that day, I think, too. And then her son had been in the ER the night before, and so she was too tired and couldn't come. But anyway, it was a day that I don't forget. I remember each of those little day-long retreats for Starlight, because they are so meaningful and so powerful.
Yeah, for sure.
And that, the one I remember, the thing I remember from that one is that I got to meet you, and I got to actually talk to you in person for the first time ever. So, and of course, the very first one I went to was when I got the, I was still in the idea stages of doing a podcast, and Anna Whitston Donaldson was the speaker, and she was very, very encouraging. Yeah, go ahead and start. And so I started right around the time of the next retreat. So you probably started listening within a week or two after that retreat. I think I had recorded some in August, but I didn't release them till September. So anyway, it's just bringing back a lot of memories, and we've gone through a lot since that time.
We have. We
and sure I feel have. Like we've become close friends in these last years, but and never have I pushed you to see if you wanted to be on the podcast ever. You'd think I would, right? Also, listeners know you can be my friend, and I don't ask you to be on the podcast. I do not pressure you. But Michelle reached out to me and said, "I think it's time." Mm-hmm. And what's even more crazy is I said, "Okay," and I gave her the date for my first opening for release. And it's a special day.
Yes. Yep. You know, I have a milestone birthday coming up this year.
Yeah.
50th birthday. Mm-hmm. And I realized that it landed on a Thursday. So, yeah. And I thought it just meant to be.
It was just meant to be. And it was, and I've been booking out quite far. So, I mean, for me to look at the calendar and have that be the first opening I had was on your birthday. And I put in air quotes because I really feel like it was meant to be, reach out and say, "Hey, yeah. I think it's time. I think I'd like to share Corbin's story," because I've been wanting secretly to share Corbin's story for a long time because, wow, he's an amazing kid.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's, you know, and birthdays are hard. So I haven't really wanted to celebrate my birthday since he's been gone. And with this, you know, quote, milestone one coming up, I feel like it's going to be a bit harder. So I appreciate that this will be more special having this.
Yeah, I love it. Well, why don't you just tell us all about Corbin now? I feel like I know so much about him, but I can't wait to hear you just talk about him.
Oh, yeah, Corbin. Oh my gosh. Corbin is my only child. Mm-hmm. And he was born in 2001. In April 2001. And at that time in my life, you know, my marriage wasn't in a great place. So I, you know, wasn't sure what to expect going forward. And boy, he just brought so much joy. I just instant love, you know.
Yeah.
Even though I felt unsure of where the rest of my life was going to take me, I just had this bundle of sunshine in my arms, you know.
Yeah. And you were Corbin's mom.
Yeah.
If nothing else, right? At that moment, you were Corbin's mom now and forever.
Forever. Yes. Yep. And that's my favorite title.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Favorite name to be called. And so, yeah, he was just such a good kid, just sweet. You know, growing up, he loved just kind of snuggling. And well, even, you know, up through, you know, he passed when he was 19, but even right on through, he loved maybe not so much the snuggling, but definitely watching movies and things like that. And he loved playing video games when he was older. He was kind of a quiet kid, you know, not very loud. I just loved seeing him come out of his shell more as he got older and being more confident and independent. But he was the kind of kid, you know, growing up that people would ask him a question and he'd kind of just pause and not answer right away. So people wouldn't think that he, like, hello, you know, like he didn't.
Yeah.
And he heard them and he wasn't being rude or disrespectful, but he just was really observant and like taking it in. And then he would respond, you know, so
he'd really think about it first.
Yeah. I had
not one of those kids that talk before they thought, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, he loved to make people smile and laugh. And he thought it was hilarious when he would scare me, you know, from around the corner in the room or something.
What is it with boys and that and doing that? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Enjoyed teasing his mom for sure. Yeah. But yeah, he went to a Lutheran school growing up and through eighth grade, and then went to a public high school where he continued in band, and he was on the drum line, which was just, he loved it. He loved being on the drum line. And he played the tenor drum for 2 years. And so I just loved watching the marching band. And I know sometimes people, when they see marching band, you know, see drummers now, they'll message me and like, oh, I just saw Corbin. And
I do. Whenever I see a drummer, I think of Corbin. Yeah, I see drumsticks and I think of Corbin. Yeah. I think it's funny that you said he was a quiet kid because he picked a pretty loud instrument.
Right? Yes, yes. And it's interesting because he, when, you know, him being in band really helped him transition from the private school to, he went to a pretty large public high school. And so I think just having gone to band camp, you know, that summer before starting, it really helped him kind of form friendships and a family there. And so, and being in the band led to him having the opportunity the summer that he graduated high school in 2019 to go on a trip to Europe with different Michigan high schools. So they went to 7 countries in 16 days, and he just loved it. He had, I mean, it was kind of hard for me as mom to see him go and not go with him, but I think he really just wanted that experience, you know, by himself without mom along. So, but yeah, it was really eye-opening for him. He said Switzerland was his favorite. So, and I had hoped that we could go there someday, but.
I remember that. I remember him. He showed you pictures and he was excited someday to go back with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. While he was all over there texting me, you know, and I'm like, oh, I want to go someday. And he said, take me with you. And
yes. Like, right. I know.
Like, yeah. Yeah. So sweet. But yeah, he was, you know, he had strong faith and just good kid. You know, he worked at a part-time job about a year and a half before he died. He had started a part-time job and was a busser at Texas Roadhouse. Mm-hmm. And he just loved doing good work, you know, just being a good worker. And yeah, he took pride in his work. So. And it's nice for me to go visit there, you know.
Yeah, visit the restaurant.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so, and he was living with you a lot of the time, but he had time with his dad too, because you had said that your marriage was not great when he was young, and it did break up when he was pretty young.
Yes, that's right. Yep. So yeah, we, you know, pretty much within the first year of Corbin's life, you know, we had, you know, our marriage had dissolved, and yeah, Corbin lived with me full time and you know, visited his dad. And so, yeah, it was, you know, just me and Corbin here.
Right. And right. And that's why I wanted to bring up that point, because it was the two of you. It was like the two of you just did everything together. And when there was stuff with your family, it was you and Corbin going, right? So that does make it a lonelier journey, I think, a lot when, after losing him, when you go from just being kind of this team to being solo and having to go through that struggle. So I that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I feel like it's an important part of your grief journey afterwards, is that there wasn't somebody right there in your home with you to rely on.
Yes, for sure. I'm glad you did bring that up. Yeah, it's been really hard because he was my person, you know.
Yep.
He was my whole family, you know, my whole immediate family. So that's been really hard.
Yeah.
I have our dog that we adopted, you know, 8 months before he died. And I think that happened for a reason, you know, so I already had my companion with me, but,
Rusty.
Yeah. My dog, our dog Rusty. But yeah.
Yeah. So do you want to talk now about what happened to Corbin?
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, like Corbin was 19, and it was July 2020. So, you know, we were still in the middle of the pandemic and had been just home a lot, obviously. Yeah. And July 4th weekend was coming up. My brother and his family have a cottage up north in Michigan, along Lake Michigan. It's Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore area. And we were going up there for the July 4th weekend. And we went up there, had a great day. The day before, we kayaked down a river and just had a fun time with family, and my nephews were up there as well, and their friends. And then the next day, it was a Saturday, it was July 4th. My brother wanted to take us to the beach at Lake Michigan, but we had to walk through a trail through the woods, which we had not done before. So we all, a bunch of us went through the trail, the woods. It was super hot that day. I mean, July in Michigan, yeah. It's hot. We get out of the trail, and my good friend Stephanie was with me, and my brother and his wife, and another couple of friends of theirs, and then Corbin. And we get out there, and it's just beautiful. You can see the dunes and the beach. And So we get to the water, and we're kind of wading in the water and cooling off. And my brother went out in the water, and he said, "Oh, there's a sandbar out there. Do you guys, anybody want to go out there?" And we all said no. Corbin said no. My brother went out there, and there was a deep area before this little sandbar area. And my brother showed us, you know, from there, like how deep it was, and got out, and he came back in. And then my brother and sister-in-law walked down the beach to look for rocks. And so then me and my friend were still standing there talking, and Corbin was there just kind of waiting in the water. And then all of a sudden Corbin asked us, "Do you want to go out to the sandbar?" And we're like, "No." I mean, we already said no before that we didn't want to go. We were still just kind of recouping from the trail that we had, you know, walked. And so we go back to talking, and the next thing we know, Corbin is on his way out in the water to that sandbar area. And I was like, "Oh, I guess he's going." And in my mind, I'm like, Corbin's not a great swimmer, but, you know, I guess I, you know, just kind of thought of it. And then, you know, he kept on his way, and like, he's 19 years old. What am I going to do? Say,
"Are you sure?" Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Like, I just was like, "Oh, you know, it'll be okay." And he got out there, and he showed us like, "Hey, I'm to the, you know,
sandbar." Yeah.
You know, saying hi. And then he's on his way back from that area, and he started to struggle. He got to the, I think, the deep area that was before the sandbar, and he started struggling in the water. And we didn't realize at first that he was struggling. And then we asked him, and he kind of like nodded like, "Yeah, you know." So then none of us that were standing there had really the skill or ability to like go out there. I'm not a great swimmer. So we were yelling down the beach to my brother, because my brother's can swim, obviously. And so it took him a little bit for my brother to realize that we were calling for help. And so then he started running. He got there, he got out to Corbin in the water, and he had a hold of him, but he couldn't hold on. And Corbin was just struggling too much at that point, I think. And so, yeah, Corbin drowned in Lake Michigan. Yeah, it just takes her back to that day, you know?
Yeah.
I remember walking, like pacing the beach and just saying, "This can't be happening. This can't be happening." Like, yeah. I just felt like this was just like some alternate world or some, it just can't be real.
I remember you've told me that his head came up three times. You saw him come up three times, and then he didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, because
I just want to tell the audience that I have had the honor to be there at that spot with Michelle this last 4th of July weekend. Another mutual friend of ours and I we walked the trail. We went to that spot, that kind of sacred spot, and to be there with you. And I really feel honored to have done that, honored to have been in that spot with you.
It was an honor to have you there, really. It is a very sacred spot.
It is.
You know, I wasn't sure how I would feel going back there initially. It was very hard, but I feel close to him there.
Yeah.
I feel like he's there, you know. That's where I left him. And it helps that it's a beautiful area, you know.
Yeah.
I know that's not for everybody. You know, everybody doesn't have that situation where it's a beautiful spot. But yeah, it is. It's special to have people come there with me that are special to me. And so, yeah, I thank you for that.
Right. And I love that we could leave flowers there. I love that you've got to talk about the driftwood.
Yes. Yeah. Well, so on the 1 year anniversary, well, a little bit before the 1 year anniversary, I don't even really like calling it anniversary, I guess, but I don't know.
But it's like, there's not a great word for it first.
No. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. So the 1 year, the next year, my brother had wanted to make something really special for Corbin to mark the spot. And he had made a beautiful cross out of driftwood and carved it, had Corbin's picture on it, and had put it up in that area a little farther back from the beach. Anyways, somebody had, the year after, somebody had cut it down, and we don't know where it went or what. Like,
it's so sickening because it is just beautiful. If I can't even do it justice to describe, but it was this beautiful cross. It was gorgeous, very big.
And yeah, he spent a lot of time making that.
I mean, it had to have been hours and hours and hours carving that to just get that perfect, and layers of, you know, stain and shellac and whatever. It was beautiful. So it's just crushing when that was moved like that.
It was like another loss when I realized when I went there the first time, when it was gone, I was just like, I just felt like somebody was tearing my heart out again.
Yeah.
And I get, like, if it's not allowed to be there, you know, on that land, or it's just like, we just wanted it back. Like, it was so special. Like, just give it back.
Right. Cause you did reach out to, because Sleeping Bear Dunes is a national Lakeshore National Park, and thought, well, maybe they removed it. But they hadn't removed it.
No, that's my brother asked some people, and he had shared in that local area, you know, social media, asking, we don't care if you took it, just please give it back to us. Like, if you have it, you know, but yeah, nobody, we haven't heard anything. So now when I go there, it's just you can see the stump of it, which you've seen.
Yeah.
So kind of backtracking a little bit. That first year for my birthday, when I went there and spent some time alone, I found this driftwood on the beach, this really kind of large driftwood. And it was shaped like a heart, like kind of a misshapen heart, you know. Yeah. And well, you know,
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, this is a driftwood heart. Like, this is so special. And I loved it. So every time I've gone back there since my birthday in 2021, I take pictures of it because it changes. Like, when I first discovered it, it was still brown. And so clearly it was newly there, but now it's white, and it kind of gets where it's more buried under the sand, and then, you know, more visible. And so I just, you know, with that heartbreak of having the cross cut down, after I kind of dealt with that a little bit, I thought, well, you know what? I just could hear God telling me, well, it's okay, because I gave you the driftwood heart on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's so close to Corbin's spot. You know, I refer to that area on the beach. I'm going to Corbin's spot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind of led me into writing a poem later about the driftwood heart. And I, you know, have dabbled in poetry a little bit since, you know, my early grief, just kind of trying to deal with my feelings and stuff. But yeah, so the driftwood heart is there, and it's just special to go and see that. And I think it will be there for a long time, because it's pretty large and buried under the sand.
So. We've got a picture of us in front of the driftwood heart, or behind, or whatever, standing with the driftwood heart at least. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. So why don't you talk now a little bit about your grief journey and what that has been like for you?
Okay. Ooh. Well, I mean, you know, early on, as I just, like you said, you know, Corbin was, he was just my everything, like my whole family, you know, and I just wasn't sure what to do. I knew I needed to find groups, I have to find people. And I think this goes along with what you've been, you know, talking about too, about community. But I remember just, you know, once I found your podcast, I just would listen to that, and I'd read the you know, I find out about books from your podcast. I found out about Starlight Ministries from your podcast. And so you've been really instrumental in my grief journey, Marcy, whether you knew that or not. But
you know, it's so funny because I admire you so much in your grief journey. So much. I mean, it's probably you don't know how much I do because you are so intentional with your grief work. I don't know of anyone who does that better than you. There may be people that do it as well as, but I don't know anyone who is more intentional about doing the grief work than you. So anyway, I admire you.
Thank you so much. That means a lot. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I would find myself doing all different kind of grief things every day of the week. And I'm like, okay, this week's a busy week. I got this group. Mm-hmm. I got this book study. I got therapy. I've got, you know, but I feel like you have to be intentional. I mean, about a year ago, I was like, you know, I feel like I need to be more, I felt like I hadn't been very active and doing things, you know, shortly before that time. And so I joined another group that has a lot of, it's David Kessler. I'm sure a lot of people have heard of, is very well known in the grief community, grief world. And he has a community, you know, online that, so I joined and it's like, that you can do as little or as much as he offers, and he offers quite a bit. And so I've been doing that for just over a year. I recently just finished a writing class that he had.
Yeah.
Writing through loss and trauma. And it's helpful. Anything that you can learn to just get through the days, you know, and connect with other parents. I find that connecting with other bereaved moms has been right at the top of my list for what's helped me.
Yeah.
And I can't stress that enough. And of course, you're not going to connect, you know, just like in everyday life, you connect with some people and some people you don't. But when you find the people that you can really bond with and connect with, that's just so valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and you touched on this about how you learned from about Starlight Ministry from the podcast, and you know, you'd been to the retreats, and then when we decided to do that first virtual support group to start, you were in that very first group. You're like in my first group of graduates, because it's kind of a 2-year program, and so Michelle graduated out. But you know, and that group got so close. I've talked many times about the group getting close. And I've also talked, and if you, for my regular listeners, about how when that group, we'd been together for a long time, and then people decided that we needed to meet, and we needed to do like a retreat. And I've said, I didn't organize it at all. So I'm going to introduce you to the person who did. This is Michelle.
Yes.
Michelle did. Now, it wasn't just Michelle. There were a few people. But the reason that we went to Hocking Hills, Ohio, is because that's where you were going to go with Corbin, right?
Yes. I always wanted to take a trip there with Corbin. I had heard from people how beautiful it was. And it was only about 4.5 hours from where we live. And I just never, you know, that never came to fruition where I took him. And I thought, well, I still want to go. And who would I want to go with? And so I reached out to our group and said, hey, would any of you, and all these people in this group, as you know, are from different states mostly.
Yes. All of a sudden, like, people are flying into Ohio, right?
Yes.
Because
it
was,
so we made
because
it
was your and Corbin's dream. That's what just, it was just so beautiful. And it was a magical time for sure.
So special. And actually the timing of it, of when we planned to go, it was the day after Corbin's birthday.
Yeah.
So that was really special too. Last year when we went.
Yeah.
Was 11 of us went.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh my gosh. Just so special to meet everybody in person. And, you know, for me to be there with you all where I wanted to be with Corbin.
Yeah.
It was really special. I can't even think of a better word, but it was just, yeah.
Well, I'm just just to think about how Corbin was so central in that trip, right? Because it was your place to go. I for sure felt like Andy was very central in that trip because we were all together because, yeah. You know, I had started this podcast and people just randomly listened from all over the place. And so each of our children was so present with us there. And it was very, very special. It was a very special time.
I think we honored all of our kids really well. You know, we had brought their pictures and we had, you know, candles and did just special time. And
well, and it wasn't, you know, I said it because it was sort of a retreat, but it wasn't really. I mean, it wasn't because there was no organization to like, we're going to do these sort of classes or these sort of learning things or have these objectives. No, it was just a bunch of moms who lost their kids who were getting together.
Yeah, I loved it.
And it was like our kids just brought us together.
Yeah. And we could just be ourselves. You know, yeah. That's the thing. I've been to other retreats.
Yeah, you have.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
It's so funny because I was just recently had released a podcast where they have Luella's Lodge and I am going to have that. It's looking like September. So if hopefully by the time this airs, it will be up on the webpage as if you want to go to one of the mom's retreats at Luella's Lodge with me being there, that will be in September in Illinois, about an hour and a half west of Indianapolis, Indiana. So just so you know. Anyway, so, and I talked on that about Faith's Lodge because they had gone to Faith's Lodge and that's where they had their idea to start Luella's Lodge. And I said, oh, I know people have been to Faith's Lodge and that, and I do know several people have been, but the first one was you.
Yeah.
Because yeah. You go back every year.
I have. Yeah. So I first went there, I think it was September of 2021. So it was just over a year after I had lost Corbin. Or no, is that right? Yeah. Actually, I had been to a retreat earlier in that year in February 2021, was a While We're Waiting retreat.
Mm-hmm. Which we've talked about many times too. Jill Sullivan's been on the podcast. Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I met a few ladies that actually are in our group of friends. That
so
we
crazy.
Have.
Yes.
So there's a lot of different connections there. But so, yeah. So I went to Faith's Lodge in September 2021. And boy, our group of moms just really connected, and some of us have stayed connected. We pegged named ourselves rockstar moms, and we've gone back in 2022 and 2023, and now we're just planning, you know, to go back to the area again and maybe just, you know, be close so we can visit. It's just very, to us, it's a very sacred place to be at Lodge on the grounds there. It's really a very special and honoring place for so many children.
Yeah. 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 It's an amazing organization. Yeah. Yep. And then we've got other friends that have gone there since then. So to different kinds of weekends too. So it's a special place and I love that it exists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's a long drive for you to go.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's convenient in the sense that, which this is another part of me and Corbin's story, is that my birth family lives not very far from there. And I don't know if we want to go down that road of talking about my birth family, but I knew I was adopted my whole life. And in 2018, 2 years before Corbin died, I was able to find my birth family and connect with them. And they live in Minnesota. And me and Corbin were able to take a road trip there to meet them in person for the first time. And it was right before Corbin started his senior year. So I was like, okay, we got to do it now because the next year or two is going to be busy. And I'm so thankful that we did.
Yeah.
At that time, because, you know, you never know what the future holds. And
that's the only time they met him.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but since then I've been able to kind of tag that on to when I go to Faith's Lodge. You know, it's a couple hours from there to visit my birth family. So I have visited a few times since then also. Speaking of not knowing, you know, what the future holds, 2020, not only did I lose Corbin, but a month later, I lost my mom.
Yeah.
And then 3 months after that, I lost my birth mom.
Yeah.
So even though I didn't know my birth mom that well, I'm thankful that I, you know, got to meet her when I did. But it was just a lot of loss. And there is a little story I'd like to share about the day that Corbin died.
Yeah.
I think you might know what I'm talking about, but you know, my mom had been placed in an assisted living facility right before the COVID shutdown. And she had dementia. And then, of course, so we weren't able to visit her, which was really hard for her to understand.
Yeah.
And I got a lot of phone calls and things like that. And one of the workers there a few times would offer to Facebook video chat, like, hey, can you video chat your mom? And I was like, oh, sure. You know, so we did that via Facebook, and which was helpful. So my mom could see me, and we had some chats. So before that July 4th weekend, I had talked video chat with my mom, I think a couple of weeks before that. And so on July 4th, as we're heading to the hospital, you know, Corbin had been rescued from the water by the Coast Guard. And I'm riding in a vehicle on the way to the hospital. And I get a message from the worker at my mom's place, assisted living place. And she said, hey, can you video chat your mom right now? And I was like, no.
Yeah.
And so I messaged her back and I said, no, I'm sorry. My son was in an accident. I'm on my way to the hospital. And she's like, oh my gosh, I hope he'll be okay. And I said, I don't think he's going to be. And so then later she checked in with me, you know, a day or two, a few days later. And I was just so curious. I thought it was so interesting that at that moment, that my mom, I'm like, did my mom ask to talk to me at that time? And I asked the worker, I said, I just need to know, like, did she specifically say at that time that she wanted to talk to me? And she said, yes, she did.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was just something, you know, my mom knew that she had to reach out to me at that point.
Yeah.
And so I just think that's a very interesting thing for that day.
It's just amazing, isn't it? A little gift to that.
Yeah.
It's so funny. It reminds me very much. So my mother died when I was in college. So my grandma was very much like my mom in a lot of different ways. And it was shortly after Eric and I were married. And so my mom died of breast cancer. On the other side of my family, my grandmother had breast cancer, two different breast cancers. My aunt had breast cancer. So we had lots of breast cancer in the family. And so I've had to have mammograms since my mid-20s. And they found something on the mammogram and they wanted to do a biopsy. And my grandma called me that day. My grandma called me and said, I just wanted to make sure you were right. All right. I just thought maybe something was wrong. And I lied to her and I told her it was fine because I didn't want her to worry because she'd already lost her daughter to breast cancer and I didn't want her to think she was going to lose her granddaughter. And it turns out it was benign. It was fine. And then I then did fess up and call her later. And I said, you remember that day you called me and you thought something was wrong? You were right. There was something wrong that day, but I just didn't want to tell you until I knew it was okay. But those gifts that moms and can get, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was just, she knew you needed her. She did. And then you couldn't even take the call, just like me lying through my teeth to my grandma, telling her everything was fine when it wasn't, when it clearly wasn't fine. You were like, nope, I can't talk right now. But yet you knew she knew and she wanted to. And that just like for me, like my grandma knew there was something wrong and she needed me and that I needed her. You know, it's just awesome.
Yeah, I agree. It's pretty amazing. I mean, you know, they say hindsight, you know, you look back on things and it's like, wow, you know, it's just interesting. I think how our parents can know things, our moms, and, you know, that God, I believe that God has a hand in kind of orchestrating and, you know, putting those things in there to help us, you know, whatever way that is. And I was just sitting here thinking too, like, one of the things that helps me, just little tidbits, you know, when you think about that day, and I've talked about that day so much with my friend that was there with me, we kind of, you know, sort through it and discuss it together. Like, it just helps us, I think, in the healing process of to be able to talk about it, even though it's hard.
Yeah.
But that day when we came out of the woods and got to the beach area, and you just see the beautiful blue waters of Lake Michigan, and you see the, there's a couple islands in the water. And I didn't know this at the time. It was later that my friend told me that Corbin said to her, like, she stood there to take a picture, and Corbin said, "It looks like paradise." And I was like, "Corbin said it looks like paradise." Like, that doesn't sound like something he would normally say, or, you know. And I just thought, how touching that he's in paradise.
Right. Within probably a couple hours of that comment, he was truly in paradise.
Yeah. And I mean, I can't wait to be there with him, but yeah. And then there's the whole Sleeping Bear Dunes legend.
Yeah. Yeah, people probably don't know that story. It's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful story.
Yes.
Because we got you a copy of the book. I think you already had one, but we got you a copy.
Yeah, I have actually one sitting next to me. But yeah, my sister-in-law is a elementary school teacher, and she, I think she was talking about telling it to her students or something. And so we asked that day when we got there, I was like, "Can you remind me again what the basic story is about?" And she told us, including
that day.
That day, as we were standing there and we had just gotten in the water.
So do you want to tell it? Do you want to tell the story? Can you tell the story?
Yeah, I can tell it real quick. I think I have like the general gist of it. But so it's about this bear and her two cubs that are in Wisconsin, and they're trying to escape a forest fire that's in Wisconsin. And so they get in the water and start swimming across Lake Michigan to get to Michigan to escape the forest fire. The mama bear makes it to shore, and she looks back, and she doesn't see her cubs. And then, so the legend is that she is laying sleeping on the beach, on the dunes, waiting for her cubs to come back. Mm-hmm. And the legend is that the two islands, Manitou Islands, I think that are,
I think that's right.
The legend is that those are the cubs in the water. Yeah. And so Mama Bear is sleeping on the beach waiting for them. And I just, so then later after that tragedy happened of me losing Corbin that day, I just was like, oh my gosh, like I'm the Mama Bear. Yeah. Like I'm waiting for him on the beach. So it's like, I, you know, it just, everything about that. That's tragically beautiful, you know?
Right, right. But it is. It's a perfect, I mean, it's just a perfect analogy of you being on that beach, especially because from that location, you can see little islands too.
Yes.
Because you are right there. You are right at the spot of the legend. So it's beautiful. That's why Laura and I decided you needed a copy of the book. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how many copies you have of the book, but... Do you have several copies?
Well, I have one right now because of one of them I gifted it to somebody else. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but it is a sad story. When I first read it, I ordered it, you know, after early on in my grief, and I was like, I got to get this book. And then when I read it, I just cried. Like I just bawled. It's just, yeah, mm-hmm. But it's a special.
It's one of those excruciatingly beautiful things, right?
Yes.
It's excruciating and painful, but it's beautiful as well.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So another thing that I want to talk to you about are the cards that you do.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
It's a really special thing. So go ahead.
You know what's interesting? I don't even know if you remember this, but... you know, early on in my grief, when I was listening to your podcast, somebody, I don't know what episode it was, but somebody had said the idea of giving birthday cards to people you know, to honor their child that had passed, they would give birthday cards to people and put the money in the card of the amount the child would be that year. And I was like, and as soon as I heard that on whatever episode it was, I was like, oh my gosh, that's it. I like that idea. And so I remembered it. And I just decided that that's what I wanted to do for Corbin's birthday and have done ever since, you know, for the last, I guess this will be the fourth, I'm in the fourth year. So this will be the fourth birthday coming up. And yeah, I put it out there on my social media, and I have family and friends that join me in gifting a birthday card, putting, you know, $20 was Corbin's first birthday, but put it in there, and I create a little insert that explains why this person is getting this card, and it explains Corbin and who he is, and that they're getting it in honor of his birthday. And yeah, so I hand out several of those. That's kind of what I do now.
I was going to say, it's not just one. You don't just do one.
No, I do. I typically have done about 20 of them, just because that's, you know, but I have other people, you know, that will join me, and I'm just however they want to do it. If they know somebody they want to give it to, or you can go up to the grocery store.
I mean, you gave some of them away on the way to Ohio last year.
I did, because the day that I traveled to Ohio for our trip was Corbin's birthday. And so I had handed some out here in my local area, and then I started saved some for my drive to Ohio and did some there as well. And I usually, in my mind, I usually will jot down in a notebook when I've given it to somebody, and just sometimes people's reaction or things that they share with me. I've had people say, oh my gosh, I had one lady a couple years ago in the grocery store say, I just had a miscarriage today. Like, and I've just had different things like that that come up, and I'm like, you know, and then we hug each other and we cry, and, you know, it's just so meaningful to share that love, but, you know, just to have that experience with people.
Yeah. And that is why I said I admire you so much, because you're so intentional about that. So you just, like, that's what we're going to do. And then to open yourself up to just giving it to random people, trusting that the right people are going to get that card, are going to see that card. And I mean, that woman who just had that miscarriage that day, she was meant to get a card that day.
Yeah. Yeah. That helps me know that I'm doing the right thing. And I feel like Corbin's doing it with me. You know, he's with me.
Right. And right.
But to me, that his birthday is such a happy day for me, because that's the day I became a mom.
Right.
You know, it's just nothing like that. So I will always celebrate that. I mean, not just the fact that I became a mom, but like his mom, you know, and I love to be able to share that with others, because I don't want, you know, one of the greatest worries I know you've talked about several times on your podcast is like, you're afraid people are going to forget, and you feel like people forget.
Yeah.
And even though these are strangers that I'm, you know, sharing these things with too, but I also put it out there for my friends and family to gift those cards to other people. And sometimes they do. And I think it's people are nervous to approach strangers.
Yes.
And I've had only a couple people kind of like, what are you doing? You know, I don't.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, never mind. You know, but for the most part, I think it's just nice for people to kind of get out of that comfort zone and be able to share, willingly, openly share with others and show people that there's still kindness in the world. Like, it's not just about doing it to honor Corbin. Like, I want people to see kindness through him, you know, through our faith, Corbin's faith, like, that God is here and he, you know, that they're still kind people.
And this has been featured, I know, on the news locally.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Last year.
Yeah. So, I mean, that spreads it even more. I think after seeing that news story, I thought, well, how many people now are going to watch that news story and then think, you know what? I think maybe I'm going to do that. Maybe I'm going to give out a birthday card on my mom's birthday, or on my sister's birthday, or on, right? I mean, it just, I don't know. I just was beautiful because now it wasn't just the 20 people that got the cards last year.
Right.
It was the 20 people that got the cards and the hundreds or thousands or whatever that saw the news story.
Yeah.
And it moved to Ohio last year. I mean, it's I love that. I love it so much.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a way that I can still buy a birthday card for my son, too. And I can sign it and, you know, because I won't get to buy birthday cards from, you know, and so it's a way for me to do still.
Yeah.
Mother Corbin and love him. And like, I have to find creative ways to do that. You know?
Well, because we do, right? We still want to mother our kids and we still want to be parents for them, but it's more difficult.
It is. Yeah. And I feel like all the things that, you know, like the grief work that you mentioned that I'm intentional about doing grief activities, grief work. It's like, I feel like that's also a way for me of loving Corbin.
Yeah.
You know?
You are right. That is the way that you show Corbin that you love him.
Yeah.
By reaching out to other people and being such a blessing to other people. Because you are such a blessing to other people.
I thank you. I appreciate that. People have been such blessings to me.
Well, and I know too, it is challenging so hard when you lose your only child. I think that's an added complication. So if you are listening and you lost your only child and you want to reach out to Michelle, I know she'd love to hear from you because I know she would. She is an amazing support. So if you have newly lost your only child and you feel like, gosh, I don't know who to turn to, I can tell you somebody.
Yes, I would love that. I would love to be supportive to other, you know, early on in my grief, I thought I'm not going to find people that are in my situation. I'm not going to find somebody who's single, who lost their only child. Like they're, you know, and I come to realize like I didn't have to find that exact scenario, but it is different. And I do have connections with bereaved moms, you know, like you and other people that do have other children. But I've also made connections with other people that have lost their only child. And it's nice to have that difference of where you can like, okay, I'm going to reach out to this group because I'm really struggling with the fact that I won't ever be a grandma or I won't like, I'm so sad today because you know, when it has to do with that factor of losing your only one, there's so many other losses on top of that. Uh-huh. Like I just said that I'll never be a grandmother. I'll never be a mother-in-law. Like I'll never, you know, all these things that you realize along the way.
Yeah. All those other kinds of losses.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you were right that you don't need to, though, only be supported by moms who lost their only child. And it's interesting. I felt like I learned that very early on in my Starlight journey because we went around the room and at mine, obviously mine was in person. It was parents. It wasn't just moms. Our Starlight group tends to be mainly just moms. We do have a dad right now, but mainly it's been moms. There were a lot more like just a dad coming or just a mom coming or a couple coming together. So it was more variable. And the ages were really variable. Like there were people that lost newborns. There were people that lost their 45-year-old son. So it was so variable. And at the very beginning, I felt like I was looking around thinking I needed it to be the same. Like I needed people who lost their teenage son suddenly, right? Not through illness or whatever. And there wasn't anybody else like that in my group. Nobody. The closest in age was Stephanie's daughter who was 12, but you know, she had long illness from the time she was born until dying at 12. There was a 7-year-old, there was a newborn, and then everybody else was adults who had died like of cancer. One had an infection, but like no one was at all close to a story like our story. And that first week or two, I thought that I wasn't going to be able to relate. And I was so wrong. I was so wrong. Because we can relate. Even when our stories are really, really different, we can 100% relate because we've all lost these dreams of our future and our children, you know, the extension of ourselves. So it can be really nice when things are close, but then it's nice too to see differences. So
yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice to have a multitude of people that you can connect with that if you need somebody regarding this scenario, you can kind of reach out to that person.
And isn't it funny that you do that? Because I found myself doing that. Like there'll be a certain thing will happen and I will think of this person or that person. Or I was telling you, you know, I was on a walk yesterday and I was thinking of Corbin. The night before that, we had the most beautiful sunset out the back window. And it was the most vibrant orange sunset I have ever seen in my life. And I took a picture of it and sent it to Chrissy, our mutual friend Chrissy. Because, you know, I tend to think when I see orange sunsets, I just tend to think of Caleb. And so there are these things that like, just certain people will just fall into a certain spot for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, for sure. And I love that we can reach out to different people with different things like that.
I do too. Yeah. It's nice.
And I love that when I see a heart in nature, I think of you and I pick them up. Because when we were on the walk that day, I don't know if you remembered, but I found a heart-shaped rock that day and I picked it up and I took it home. And it sits at the cottage up north on my table, reminding me of Corbin every time I look at it. It's just this beautiful little heart-shaped, and it was there that day for me. And I know you had a ton of them, so I got to keep this one.
Oh, yeah. I always look for different rocks, you know, heart-shaped specifically, if I can find. I just feel like it's Corbin sending a little love, you know.
Well, thanks, Corbin, for sending your mama love and for sending me love. And I'm just going to say, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you so much.
And I know it's not going to be an overwhelmingly happy day, but, you know, I just hope that you find moments of happiness and moments in the day.
I'm sure that Corbin will show up. And before we finish up, I would like to share a verse, a Bible verse that is important for me regarding Corbin, because I discovered it shortly after he died that he had shared this and that it meant a lot to him. And I know it's a difficult verse for a lot of people who are grieving, but it's really means a lot to me. And it's Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. And so that helps me to know that there has to be some good things that I can do in spite of this tragedy of not having Corbin here. And it can't be, this pain can't be for nothing.
Right. Right. And it isn't. And it isn't. And you have brought a lot of beauty in the horribleness that has happened. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you found this helpful and would like to support the podcast, please leave a 5-star rating and comment. To help financially, you can type Andy's Mom, one word, to the number 53555. This provides a link to GiveButter, which allows donations through PayPal, Venmo, Apple Pay, or credit cards. GiveButter will provide a receipt of your tax-deductible donation. Or you can visit the donation page at andysmom.com/donate. Always Andy's Mom is a registered 501c3 and can receive donations through Thrivent Financial and Benevity. Marcy loves hearing from listeners. Please feel free to reach out to her via email at marcy@andysmom.com or on the Instagram or Facebook Always Andy's Mom accounts. Sign up for the email list to get weekly episode links as well as pictures of Marcy's guests and their children. Together, let's work to inspire hope one day at a time.